The Yontif of Shmini Atzeres, the one day of Shmini Atzeres, has always been a bit of an enigma. Is it part of Sukkos? Is it independent and autonomous of Sukkos? Even al pi halacha, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah speaks about six differences between Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres, which would imply in many ways that at the base, it's really an extension of Sukkos. And of course, the fact that it's called Shemini Atzeres, the eighth day of Sukkos, which is in Atzeres, reminds us of its satellite nature to the rest of the Yom Tov, to the rest of Sukkos. So the question of Shemini Atzeres in general and its interaction with Sukkos is a well-discussed and well-explored issue. But what's fascinating is the pressure that Shemini Atzeres felt on both sides, and how that pressure was uniquely Gullus-related, based on our experience in Chutz Laretz, and how our return to Eretz Yisrael has changed the dimensions and the dynamics of some of that pressure. So this is not a purely halachic shir, but it's assessing the dynamic of minhag and halacha as it unfolded in a Gullus environment, and now that we're back in Eretz Yisrael, how some of that equation has changed or been altered. On the one hand, as I alluded to earlier, Shemini Atzeres felt pressure from Sukkos. Now, when I say pressure, I talked before about pressure of identity. Is it a separate Yom Tov? Is it a continuation or extension of the eighth day of Sukkos? But the pressure was exerted in a halachic way in terms of practice. In Chutz Laretz, we keep 2 days of Yom Tov, based on the Gemara in Beitza. That in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, those in Eretz Yisrael were forewarned which day was actually Rosh Chodesh. The messengers traveled to all the locations, informing them of the exact, precise day of Rosh Chodesh. This allowed them to keep 1 day, the exact day of Pesach, the exact day of Shavuot, the exact day of Sukkos. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, in farther precincts, the messengers weren't able to relay the information. And therefore, in Chutz Laretz, people had to keep 2 days of Pesach, 2 days of Sukkos, and 2 days of Shavuos. Even though our calendar isn't contingent upon witnessing the new moon, based on maintaining the minhag of our avos, minhag avoseinu b'yadeinu, all Jews in Chutz Laretz have to keep 2 days. Now, typically, that doesn't create anything more than perhaps some degree of inconvenience. I can't call it mitzvah inconvenience, but the extra day of Pesach, not eating chametz, 2 days in the beginning of the Yom Tov. Again, I don't like to use the word inconvenient, but there's no internal halachic clash. Whereas on the last day of Sukkos, the seventh day of Sukkos, which we call Hoshana Rabbah, we essentially have to keep every day twice. Now, normally we don't have an issue with that because we're keeping overlapping days. So the first day we're keeping it, maybe it's the first day, maybe it's not the first day. The second day of Yom Tov, we're keeping it as possibly the first day, possibly the second day. The third day, it's the third or the second. And the Kriyas HaTorah in Chutz Laretz reflects this uncertainty that we read the Korbanos for different days. However, on the seventh day, Hoshana Rabbah, it may be the seventh and it may be the sixth. If it's only the sixth, then the eighth day, which we refer to as Shemini Atzeres, may also be the seventh day of Sukkos, if we have to keep that suffix across every day. And the Gemara responds to this in Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, the practice, at least according to the first line of halacha, is that on Shemini Atzeres, namely the eighth day of Sukkos, inasmuch as we have to keep in mind that it may be the seventh day of Sukkos, a person should sit in the sukkah. He shouldn't make a bracha, but he should sit in the sukkah. Yasuvi yasvinan, mevruche lo mevrachinan. The reason there's no bracha is for all sorts of other concerns, perhaps Sveikos, perhaps even Baal Tosef. But it's pretty clear that on the day of Shemini Atzeres, Jews are meant to sit in the sukkah. Now, as many of you are listening to the shir, you may not have a minhag to eat your meals in the sukkah, to eat all your meals in the sukkah, to eat the entire meal in the sukkah, and minhag has generated a multiplicity of different options which different people keep. Very, very strict halachaists will follow the Shulchan Aruch and will follow the Gemara. And in fact, I once asked Rav Lichtenstein which minhagim he felt should be changed, because he was a strong adherent in minhag avoseinu. Even if your father had a minhag that he thought was slightly off or inaccurate, he felt the minhag should be maintained at least until you got married and started a family of your own. But he said that this was one of the minhagim which he felt should be changed, that if your parents had a minhag not to eat in the sukkah and Shmini Atzeres and Chutz La'aretz, you should eat in the sukkah, because it contradicts a pretty straightforward gemara. Now, how did the minhagim not to eat in the sukkah and Shmini Atzeres develop? There's a plethora of different reasons, and the world of Chassidus had some impact on that. And this is not a shiur about the issue per se and the evolution of the minhag. Rather, it's focusing on one basis for the minhag. One basis for the minhag is that in Kabbalah, not just in Kabbalah, but in fairly mainstream rational machshava, Shmini Atzeres is distinct from Sukkos in the shift from universalism into nationalism. Sukkos is a holiday in which we pray for universal human welfare. The 70 parim, 70 oxes, typically only one or two oxes are brought with a korban musaf. On Sukkos, we descend from 13 to 7. The final tally yields 70 oxes, 70 nations. So Sukkos is a universal day of caring for the welfare of humanity at large. Shmini Atzeres is a more parochial day, as the word itself suggests, as Rashi's famous Medrash, Hashem is so perfect for the time we've spent together that he asks us to remain behind one more day, Kashalai Prideschem, and take that extra day, normally onto the 7 days, take the extra days in Atzeres and remain behind in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's clear to all of us that there's a shift which occurs between Sukkos in general and Shmini Atzeres. In Chassidus, this shift was meant to be physically enacted by leaving the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, the sukkah representing galus, exile, wandering through the wilderness of this universe, and returning into your home, and returning into a place which was seen as less universal, less external, more resembling a Jewish home, a Jewish base, a mikdash, a Jewish land. And inasmuch as Chassidus wanted to capture the transition from universalism into parochialism in a very visceral fashion, the minhag to avoid the sukkah or to limit the sukkah experience of Shmini Atzeres gained traction. And for many people who come from the world of Chassidus, this is one of the base reasons, or something akin to it, for not eating or not eating a full meal in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Now, what's fascinating and characteristic about this is that Chassidus spent a lot of interest or invested a lot in thinking about exile and redemption. But in articulating exile and redemption, Gullus and Gula, not just in the classic terms of geographical and historical Gullus and Gula, but symbolic, cosmic, universal. So what difference does it make if you're sitting in your sukkah in Eastern Europe or in Hungary, or you're sitting in your home, you're still in Gullus. But Gullus and Gula was transformed into a rich, rich system of imageries and places, and the sukkah represented galus, and the home represented returning to the Jewish base, or the Jewish home base, and returning to a place of geula. And for that reason, Shmini Atzeres felt the pressure of sukkahs. People did or didn't eat in the sukkah. People were meant to eat in the sukkah based on the original halachic ruling, but Chassidus felt that at a certain stage that ruling could be changed. And again, many people are uncomfortable with that ruling. So the interaction between Shmini Atzeres and Sukkos was always a live one and a fertile one. I live in Eretz Yisrael. Many of us live in Eretz Yisrael. And we don't eat in our sukkah. No one in Israel eats in their sukkah on Shmini Atzeres because we don't have to worry that it may be the seventh day of Sukkos. And we don't eat in our sukkah not because we are pantomiming or creating a dramatization of leaving Galus and walking into our homes, which serves as a symbolic shelter of Jewish nationhood, but because we actually live in a Jewish nation, and we live in Eretz Yisrael. And we've been able to, as it were, satisfy the demands and the demands of Chassidus and reconcile them. We don't eat in our sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, and we don't eat in our sukkah on Shmini Atzeres because we're following halacha, because we're not worried about the Sfeika Dioma, and we are not eating there because we're living in our country. And we're not acting the drama of Galus and Gula. We've actually returned to Eretz Yisrael. So I think a lot about not eating in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres in Eretz Yisrael as someone that made Aliyah, even though I did eat and thinking about all in Chutz La'aretz that did eat in the Sukkah, and thinking about all the people who didn't eat in the Sukkah in Chutz La'aretz because they were trying to capture some of that spirit of Gula. And I feel as if I'm able to have the best of both worlds, halachic adherence and strict halachic integrity, and still living through that process of not eating in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres because I've been redeemed, but I don't have to walk out of it and explain or apologize for halachic aberration. I'm in full accordance with the original halacha. Of course, the second pressure which Shmini Atzeres feels, and it's a uniquely galus type pressure, is Simchas Torah, which crowds it on the other end. In fact, most people actually refer to the day or the 2 days, depending on where you live, as Simchas Torah rather than Shmini Atzeres. Simchas Torah is about a 1,000-year-old collection of minhagim. It's not earlier, it's not mentioned earlier than about 1,000 years ago. And it stems from the fact that we finish, for whatever reason, which I won't discuss in this year, we read Vizos HaBracha on the last day of Sukkot, which is Shmini Atzeres, for reasons unrelated to Simchas Torah and predating Simchas Torah. Once people were reading the final parasha of the Torah on Shmini Atzeres, or in Chutz La'aretz on the second day of Shmini Atzeres, a rich system of minhagim and customs to celebrate this day emerged, and it coalesced or congealed as the day that we know of Simchas Torah with hakafos and aliyos and merriment and joy and dancing. To a degree, I believe that this minhag gained traction because of Chutz La'aretz and because of Galus. Because there were 2 days of Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres in general is a day that doesn't have much symbol to it. There are deeper symbols without mitzvos that are unique to the day, without matzah, without sukkah, without lulav. But it takes some imaginative creativity to lock into the symbolism of Shmini Atzeres, but to stretch it for 2 days is very challenging. So there was an empty day, so to speak. That second day of Shmini Atzeres was ripe to be invested with some alternate, parallel, of course, related imagery and spirit and identity. And hence the genesis of Simchas Torah. I wonder often if there were never a second day to Shmini Atzeres, where there ever have been this autonomous identity called Simchas Torah. And of course, I find it iconic and very, very resonant that Shmini Atzeres is something that emerges from Galus in particular. Again, it emerges from the anomaly of a 2-day Shmini Atzeres, when a 1-day Shmini Atzeres is challenging enough. Because to a degree, celebrating the Torah is our response to Galus. We lost so much. And we struggled so much, and we didn't have the Beis HaMikdash, and we didn't have any other national imagery, so we clutched so much more deeply and tightly to Torah. As we recite through all of our Slichot, Ve'in Lanu Shiur, Raka Torah Hazos. And in the absence of all these elements of national identity, and facing such indescribable pressure, we clutched Torah so deeply, and we invested so much of our national energy in Talmud Torah that it was almost natural and expected that Galus should produce a day to celebrate Torah in a more populist fashion, from bottom up, as opposed to the top-down imposition of Shavuos, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu legislates in the Torah. There's a beautiful Zohar that captures the expression or the phenomena of Simchas Torah as a Golus phenomena or a Golus invention. It's based on the Zohar and Parshas Yisro. And in many places in Europe, they've actually seen this line of the Zohar on Simchas Torah during the Hakafos. Kad Yasfun Yisrael, when the Jewish people are involved with Simchas HaTorah, Kud Shebrichu Omer Lepalmal Yadilei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mentions to his entourage, to his heavenly assembly, Chazu bini chavivi, look at my wonderful children who love me, demishtatfim b'tzara dilhon, because they're so oppressed and persecuted, the askin b'chedvasa dili, probably should be demishtakchin, they ignore their own suffering, and they celebrate my happiness at the conclusion of the Torah. In Chassidus, the term Simchas Torah is not just the joy that we express having finished the Torah, but the joy that the Torah feels at having experienced another cycle of people studying Torah. So Simchas Torah crowded Shmini Atzeres on the other end. And it created a very uncomfortable situation in which people almost ignored Shmini Atzeres by calling the 2 days Simchas Torah rather than allocating, separating. I remember living in Golos, it was always a challenge to live Shmini Atzeres without feeling the electricity and the excitement and the hullabaloo of Simchas Torah, especially when you travel to places to make ruach and to assist in the hakafos. So Shmini Atzeres was affected by Simchas Torah, and Simchas Torah, of course, is an exile experience. And now we're back in Eretz Yisrael, and in some ways the challenges is even more stiff. In some ways, I think the challenges make sense now. They're more stiff on a practical level because we really only have 1 day, and that day has to partake of both Shmini Atzeres as well as Simchas Torah, and even at a logistical level, just fitting everything in. I know some Jews in Chutz Laaretz are listening to this. Just imagine after the hours and hours of Hakavos and Aliyos, you have to then recite Tfilas Geshem. And Chutz Laaretz, Tfilas Geshem is a Shmini Atzeres experience, and as is Yizkor, and Simchas Torah is a standalone celebration. So in some ways, logistically, you feel the pressure against, or the pressure that Simchas Torah exerts on Shmini Atzeres even more deeply. On the other hand, I feel very blessed to be able to fuse Simchas Torah, which was a Golos response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much we are his unique people, and we will abide by him and maintain our faith in him despite whatever travails we'll face. And to combine that with Shmini Atzeres, the love Hashem shows us as his unique people, as I mentioned in the beginning of this year, the national, or the transition to a more nationalist experience, but to experience that in Eretz Yisrael, almost as if the culmination of history, has allowed us to see how Simchas Torah, as a representation of our commitment to Talmud Torah and Chutz Laaretz, has enabled our return to Eretz Yisrael, and has enabled us to not just believe in a promise of Shmini Atzeres, but to begin to live as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's favorite children once again in his chosen land. So I think it's only appropriate now that Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah become fused into 1 day, because Simchas Torah enabled a more holistic and meaningful experience of Shmini Atzeres, rather than just symbolically describing Hashem's love for his people. Hashem has now begun to display that love in a very overt fashion. So it's interesting, having lived in Chutz Laaretz, but moved to Eretz Yisrael, to consider how the experience of Shmini Atzeres almost is a barometer for different stages of Jewish history, and how throughout Chutz Laaretz, in exile, Shmini Atzeres was impacted on the one hand, on the one end by Sukkos, and on the other end by Simchas Torah. And now that we're back in Eretz Yisrael, those phenomena are undergoing changes, which I think are perfectly consistent with the process which led to this pressure to begin with. Chag Sameach.